This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Amazon shakes up the shipping industry, the FTC to look at the Waze acquisition as part of an antitrust investigation. Hackers could shut down the non-air breather satellites above us. And finally, Elon Musk, boring company, punches through underneath the Las Vegas Convention Center. I want to welcome you to episode 1425 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We're live again at geeknewscentral.com/live or live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Mixer, and yep, that's about it. But hey, we're live just about everywhere else. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, we want to make sure that if you're not subscribed yet to the show, that you do so. It's real easy to take care of that. All you gotta do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, subscribe to the show right there in the right-hand column of the website via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android. Subscribe on Android, Stitcher by email, or standard RSS feed. Of course, you can sign up for a newsletter when you're on the website already, so sign up for that as well. Of course, if you're a longtime listener here of Geek News Central, I want to thank you for being here. Of course, we want you to send your feedback in about the show whenever that's possible. And of course, all of you can listen on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by using the magic word to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack or now on Discord as well. Become involved in the conversation. And you can always drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. That's a way to stay connected. Of course, you can always tweet me as well at Geek News. Of course, follow me on Facebook. All the partner shows are linked up at geeknewscentral.com. That includes the GNC Week in Review by this show's executive producer, Kurt Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site written by my team, The New Media Show at newmediashow.com, hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the Podfaded Podcast Legend Show. Again, you can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So this show, of course, needs a sponsor, and we have one. And that sponsor is GoDaddy.com. And you can really get involved in helping this show out by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you're on that page, you're going to find all my promo codes, whether it be a 30% off new product purchase code, a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans, a $499.com on new or transferred domains for new customers only, or the best hosting deals in the space, a $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, which includes a free domain, and a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain as well. I was talking with a soon-to-be podcaster and listener of this show. Then I said, listen, let's get you off dead center. Use one of your promo codes. You're going to pick up a website. You're going to have your domain name. All you're going to get $12. $12 to get online with your website. Let's go. Plug in our PowerPress plugin. Get some podcast hosting. Boom, you're a podcaster. So that goes to everyone else too. If you're thinking about doing a show, this is a formula for success by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, pick up that managed WordPress hosting site for the first year for $12. Includes that domain name. Again, it's the best deal going. $8.49 is the normal cost for a standard domain name .com when you buy it. You get some of the .shows and some of the other domains cheaper. Sometimes you have to watch what that second year price is, but grab a domain name, link it up, get yourself set up, and you can be a blogger, you can be a podcaster. Really, it's easy to get started. Again, all you got to do is use one of my promo codes when you get over to GoDaddy.com. All my promo codes, you can click the link on the webpage. I'll take you to the appropriate place at GoDaddy to start using one of their services. That 30% off new product purchase, though, that one is a game changer. That one's going to save you really a pile of cash. So definitely use that one, too, when you're an existing customer to save money over at GoDaddy. Well, thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And we want to encourage you, of course, to make sure you get over there and pick up one of those domain names. For those of you on tonight on Facebook, thanks for being here. Richard and Jim, thanks for checking in. There was more earlier. I think people left. They saw my ugly mug and split. Well, let me get you guys caught up on what's going on. So last week, Wednesday, I flew out to Los Angeles. I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, immersed completely in podcasting. My feet still hurt. I was on my feet on the convention floor for 3 days straight. And of course, some evening events. And then Sunday, I flew back here, got in about 6 p.m. Eastern after leaving the airport or leaving the hotel at about 2:30 a.m. Pacific. I didn't last too long last night, but got here in the office this morning, really had just a pile of stuff, over 600 emails in my inbox that I had deemed not priority to deal with. Got through that in about 3 hours and then had some meetings, and it just was a very, very full day. So I'm just back here for a few days. I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday, I fly out to Houston. I'll be there for a two-a-day event, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. Fly back to Honolulu on Sunday, so, back-to-back trips. I'll be here for the show a week from today, and then I leave for Columbus. So the Thursday show will be in Columbus. There will be two shows next week, but one show this week again because of the Houston trip. So just kind of the way it is right now, the way the schedule is pounded out. So definitely listen to the other shows. There's going to be a real interesting new media show that's put up. We'll have a couple of great interviews that we did a live recording at that event. So I hope that you'll check that out, or one of the other shows here at Geek News Central as part of our partners and the other podcasts out there. So that's kind of what's going on. Busy time. I even got a little bit of work done on the studio this afternoon. The screen on top behind me is a new Mac Mini. That bad boy booted fast. The one below it is probably a couple years old, it boots much, much slower. And then the other machine is in the other room now. I miscalculated on the number of cables I need to order, so that needs a couple of more. But I'm about 65 or 70% complete now with the upgrade in the other studio. I was hoping to have been done today, but just shortage on cables. Let's get in here Wednesday, so probably won't get everything wired up until Monday. But anyway, that look forward to showing that off and what I've done there. I'm pretty excited how it looks. Camera angle views are good. We'll get more use, and we might even do a show next door from time to time, which would be fun. So anyway, that's what's going on here. Got a lot of content for you tonight. And again, if you're watching live, make sure you say hello. Thanks for checking in. So let's get into the stack. I've got a good stack of stuff tonight to go over. Kirk says a little bit of a slow news day, but he did a pretty good job finding some good articles. A couple of these are held over from last week, but starting off, Amazon is axing delivery partners in the United States. Hundreds of jobs have been cut. About 1,300 drivers in several states will lose their jobs. And I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of know a little bit about these living here in Michigan. I don't have half my stuff comes via U.S. mail from Amazon. And the other half comes by independent drivers, and they're lazy. The UPS or FedEx driver will drive in the driveway, and they'll come around to the main entrance point and drop stuff off. They just, you know, they'll drop it on the deck, just like they normally have. But the Amazon independent drivers, they stop on the road, run across the grass, snow-covered grass, up onto a front porch, and put stuff there for the whole world to see as they drive by. And it's about that much annoying, because they could have brought it around and back, but they saved themselves probably 2 minutes by not doing that. So they're putting at least 1,300 drivers out of work in an effort to eliminate partners that aren't meeting standards. Bear Down Logistics, an Illinois company, rapidly expanded over the past 2 years, is shuttering operations five states, letting go about 400 drivers. Delivery Force, an Amazon delivery partner in Washington, is cutting 272 drivers in Seattle and other cities. Kansas-based RCX Logistics, another Amazon delivery partner with operations in Texas, Alabama, and Florida, will eliminate the jobs of about 600 employees after losing its Amazon contract, and there's going to be more. So Bear Down Logistics notified Ohio, Virginia, Minnesota, and Illinois that it would close facilities in those states in April, cutting 230 jobs. But again, some of those drivers are here in Michigan. 120 drivers work at a Michigan facility. So I wonder if Bear Down Logistics is one of the companies that's getting axed. So we'll see. And, you know, I've never complained publicly to Amazon, but we know that in 2018, Amazon launched a program encouraging entrepreneurs to lease vans, hire drivers, and build their own businesses. More than 800 of those businesses have sprouted around the country with 75,000 drivers. Amazon also greater negotiating leverage over each small operator than it does with delivery partners like UPS, FedEx, and the USPS. So, hello? Yeah, someone just walked in my front door. I'm doing a show, sorry. It's okay. So, anyway, this is it's my brother-in-law just walked in. I normally lock the front door. He would have been over there shaking it, wondering what's going on. But anyway, we'll see what happens with Amazon here. And, but they courted these entrepreneurs, saying they could make as much as $300,000 a year with as much as little as $10,000 net front cost. But you don't perform, get the axe, and some did. Moving on here, the FTC is to re-examine Google's 2013 Waze acquisition as part of its antitrust sweep. And they plan to examine many other deals that were already viewed in the past. Interesting, huh? So antitrust experts say a second look is required as a deal combined two popular digital mapping services and limited a fast-growing rival, giving Google greater control over valuable data. Earlier this month, the FTC ordered Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft to provide information about all small acquisitions that they made between January 1st, 2010 and December 31st, 2019. And it appears the FTC isn't just scrutinizing small acquisitions, because the Waze acquisition was $1.1 billion. And we know that the FTC approved this 7 years back, but they're taking a look at everything. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Maybe it'll make them think a little bit here. The 800-pound gorilla can squash bugs easy. Over at space.com, there's a discussion about how hackers could shut down satellites or turn them into weapons. And we know, like, just here recently, SpaceX put some more satellites in the air. They have 242 satellites orbiting the planet, making them the world's largest active satellite constellation, with plans to launch 42,000 over the next 10 years. We know that Amazon UK based OneWeb and other companies are chopping it a bit to place thousands of satellites in orbit in the coming months. And these all can revolutionize what's going on and how business is done. But amid all the fanfare, critical danger has flown under the radar and the lack of cybersecurity standards and regulations for commercial satellites in the U.S. internationally. As a scholar who studies cybersecurity, that they say this, that with all these satellites, coupled with satellites' complex supply chains and layers of stakeholders, they leave them highly vulnerable to cyber attack. As if hackers would take control of these satellites, the consequences could be dire. On the mundane end of scale, hackers could simply shut satellites down, denying access to the service. Hackers could also jam or spoof the signals from satellites, creating havoc for critical infrastructure. This includes electric grids, water networks, and transportation systems. And some of the new satellites have thrusters that allow them to speed up, slow down, and change directions, although they have a limited amount of fuel. So if a hacker took control of these steerable satellites, the consequences could be catastrophic. Hackers could alter satellites, orbits, and crash them into other satellites, or even possibly the International Space Station. So meanwhile, satellites of small CubeSats use off-the-shelf tech to keep the costs low. Now, while they don't have a lot of function, hackers could insert backdoors into those CubeSats. And some of these hacks on CubeSats could be simply as waiting for one of them to pass overhead and sending malicious commands using a specialized ground antenna. So they've got a little discussion about a history of satellite hacks, talked about market forces working against them, and that regulations required within the satellite industry. So interesting commentary there, interesting thought. And I bet you there's a lot of people out there would like to get access. Isn't that cool? When you think about it, the ultimate frontier, you can't be traced, right? Especially if you're pointing an antenna at it. There's no way they're going to know exactly who connected to it. There's no wires. So kind of an interesting concept, really. All right, next up, had to finish a Red Bull. It's been a long day. Elon Musk Boring Company is done evacuating first Las Vegas tunnel. And I didn't even know this was going on. So they finished excavating the first of two tunnels planned for the Las Vegas Convention Center's underground loop transportation system. The LVCC and the Visitors Authority of Las Vegas tapped Elon Musk to develop the LVCC loop, which could cost around $52 million. The company called this development breakthrough on its Twitter account and retweeted a video of its machinery breaking through a wall in the facility. This is supposed to be done by January of 2021, which we'd be surprised if it is. And it's supposed to have electric vehicles tasked with transporting people through the tunnels. We'll be able to carry 4,400 people per hour because they can cut a 15-minute walk down to a minute-long ride, probably a 10-minute-long line to stand in. You know, it can be, you know, from walking the two longest distances between convention centers is a hump. It's more than 15 minutes. It is a hump. And that's why we put 15 to 20 to 25,000 steps in a day when we're at the convention center. All right, next thing up, Apple may use its own 5G antenna in its 2020 iPhones. They say the Qualcomm antennas are reportedly too big for Apple's liking. And that's interesting. So, you know, they settled last year in a surprising settlement to resume business. But a new report from Fastcom indicates Apple's looking to limit its reliance on Qualcomm, with the iPhone maker said to be exploring designing its own 5G antenna rather than relying on Qualcomm's existing hardware. The issue is at hand, apparently the size of the Qualcomm's QTM525 antenna, specifically for accessing the faster millimeter wave version of 5G. A fast company source claims is too large for the slim profile of Apple's next iPhone. As such, Apple is said to be developing its own in-house antenna system that would better fit the intended iPhone design. Antenna design for multi-millimeter wave technology is in particular important given the relatively poor range of the ultra-fast wireless tech. So we'll see here if this pays off or not. And it could be here that they are, you know, laying the groundwork here for their own networks and so forth. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. There's a warning from Lifehacker. Don't click on links in texts from your bank. If you get a text from someone claiming to be being your bank, don't click on the link. A new mobile phishing scam is texting people in the U.S. and Canada claiming to be your bank. When you click on the included link, you'll be taken to a website that may look like your bank's website, but it's actually a way to steal your login credentials. Always, always go direct to your bank. Don't ever, ever, ever click a link in any email or nothing. That is just a general rule. We all know that here. We're all part of the Ohana. We're up unaware of this. Netflix apparently is fighting new streaming rivals with a Samsung partnership. Netflix is hoping its new partnership with Samsung will help fend off its rivals. At Samsung's Unpacked event this week, the mobile device maker announced a deal with Netflix that will bring its Galaxy smartphone special bonus content associated with several Netflix original shows. The partnership also allows Netflix to more deeply integrate its streaming service with Samsung devices. You could always use the Netflix app. There was nothing stopping you from doing that. There's an article over on Vice.com. Target's delivery app workers describe a culture of retaliation and fear. In late October, Ashley Johnson, a single mom and seasoned gig worker in quiet Seattle suburb, tweeted about the decline of lucrative work on Shipt, S-H-I-P-T. The Target-owned grocery delivery app. She says, Shipt has taken the beep model of hiring so many shoppers per area that those of us who have given our blood, sweat, and tears can no longer even get orders unless we pre-schedule shifts. I haven't had an order in weeks. Weeks! I'm hungry, she wrote. I went from making $200 a week to making $0 to $25. Last year, apparently, they flooded its market with new workers and began rolling out a logarithmic pay model in certain cities like Seattle that many workers say left them scrambling to piece together gigs and took a chunk out of their paycheck. An hour after tweeting, Johnson received an email telling her that she had been deactivated, was not eligible to reapply for her job. According to email review by Motherboard, the letter provided no explanation for her removal from the app. On gig economy apps like Uber and like deactivation, the same as getting fired. But the company apparently has a track record of censoring and retaliating against workers for asking basic questions about their working conditions and expressing dissent, in particular on its official national Facebook group known as Shipper Lounge, which has more than 100,000 members. Ship moderators selected by the company frequently censor and remove posts, turn off comments, and ban workers to speak out about their working conditions. So this article goes on a lot. So what it sounds to me like, sounds like they're about the next group to about get sued. So if you're relying on the gig economy, this is probably a good takeaway here. If you're relying on the gig economy, remember, it's their rules. They make the rules. You really have little recourse in many of these instances. And it definitely is disconcerting because a lot of people have become to rely on the gig economy. Now, is something that happened to us. So on my way, landed in Los Angeles. They have a new way to get an Uber or a Lyft. It's really a pain. They can't pick up the curb no more. You got to get on a bus, got to go to an area, then you request your ride, get a passcode, and you stand in line, grab a car, and go. That ride from LAX to the Millennium Biltmore, which is downtown Los Angeles, was $34. So far, smart move, because I'm going to be in the convention center the whole, or in the hotel the whole week. There is, lots of eating opportunities and so forth. And plus, the hotel was charging $50 a night to park a vehicle. So on Saturday at 2:30 in the morning, I had requested an Uber the night before. I'd scheduled a pickup. And of course, I really wasn't paying attention to it. And little did I know, it was on peak at that moment. And that same ride back to the airport, luckily there was two of us in the car at that time, was about $100. I saw that later when I got my bill. I should have been paying attention. I wasn't. So that driver made out big, really big on that short 22-minute ride to the airport. And if I'd have been paying attention, I would have looked at the rates at that time and probably picked a Lyft versus an Uber. But we're trying to leave the hotel on time, you know, get to the airport to make sure we weren't going to be late. So, you know, we paid the price. So sometimes the gig economy works out for people. I sure wish they had Uber and Lyft in this town. I really do, because you can't really go anywhere here and have a cocktail or two. You can't have three for sure, because you have to drive. There's not even taxis here in this town. So you have to be really, really cognizant or have a designated driver or whatever. And it's a real, real issue. But 25 miles away in Battle Creek, plenty of Lyft and Uber drivers, but not down here. No one's taking advantage of it. It's where there's an opportunity in small town America. You're not going to make as much money, but the wages here are a little bit different too. So might be a good thing to be able to do. Or Android, listen to this. Saw a 98% drop in apps asking for call and text data. Google's attempt to curb permission abuse appears to be working, with them clamping down on Android apps abuse permissions. So apparently it's doing well in the Play Store. Now, the company revealed that there was, again, 98% drop in the number of Play Store apps accessing call logs and SMS data in 2009. Simply put, the October 2018 policy against unnecessary access had its intended effect. The remaining 2% are apps that really do require call and text data to perform their core task, according to Google. And they apparently improved vetting mechanisms that stopped 790,000 policy-breaking apps from reaching the Play Store alone. And a May 2019 policy asked developers to say whether or not the apps were targeted kids has already had some effect as well. Malware appeared to have been kept at bay as well. Google Play Protect blocking over 1.9 billion instances of non-Play Store malware. So they're trying. I don't think it's as good as Apple yet, but they're doing well. So this is an interesting announcement from Chrome. So the next version of Chrome is going to bring web augmented reality and NFC, near field communication, to more users. So Google's close to making some cutting edge web tech more accessible. Chrome 81 beta for Android, Linux, Mac, and Windows has added WebXR support for browser-based augmented reality. Web developers now have a fairly straightforward way to bring AR to users across this platform. They also open the door to tap-based interactions. A new web NFC framework lets mobile devices interact with tappable objects, again, without using a native app or system-level feature. You notice they continue to do this. They continue to have more app-like features in the browser. Very, very, very cool. And they also switched from the aging security profile of TLS 1.0 and 1.1, and they're going all the way up to 2.3. So pretty cool. There's a good article over here from Wirecutter. It's about the best smart locks. And I'm going to tell you, you need to pay attention here to these, because there are good ones and there are bad ones. And they've got a good list of locks that they've tested, a number from Yale and so forth. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out, of course. So I'll have that link, of course. Yeah, I'll have that link in the show notes for you. I think I said that twice. Duh. It's been announced that the New York Attorney General will not keep fighting T-Mobile merger with Sprint. The state isn't hoping out for an appeal. So little by little, T-Mobile's making ground here and being able to finish the acquisition of Sprint. And that's really quite a good thing. This next article is something that I have to just giggle a little bit about. How many of you have seen apps that basically say you're bound by attribution? If you want to sue, you have to do it through lawyer attribution, arbitration, not attribution. I've got attribution on my mind. That's a podcasting thing that's going on right now. Arbitration. And they basically have a bunch of employees, 5,000, in fact, they're putting forth labor disputes. In a decision on February 10th, U.S. District Judge William Alsup wrote that for decades, employers have forced arbitration clauses and class action waivers, taking away their right to go to court and to sue collectively. The irony in this case is the workers wish to enforce the very provision forced on them. Similar to other gig economy platforms, DoorDash includes an arbitration agreement in its contract with couriers or dashers who deliver customers' food orders, but after facing a flood of claims, DoorDash balked at the cost of going into arbitration. No doubt, DoorDash never expected so many would actually seek arbitration. Instead, in an irony upon irony, DoorDash now wishes to resort to a class-wide lawsuit, the very device it denied to workers to avoid its duty to arbitrate. This hypocrisy will not be blessed, at least by this order, Judge Alsup wrote. Oh my goodness. So in October, the American Arbitration Association ordered DoorDash to pay $12 million in administrative fees to process the cases. The couriers themselves paid more than $1.2 million in filing fees. DoorDash refused to pay, arguing that many of the workers seeking arbitration did not have valid claims and prompting the couriers to ask a judge to intervene. The company successfully argued that there was no proof that 869 of the couriers had valid agreements containing the arbitration clause. The judge said DoorDash would not have to arbitrate those claims, but it would still need to arbitrate 5,010 claims from the delivery workers with valid agreements. The arbitration association requires that each individual bring a claim, pay a filing fee of $300, while the responding company must pay a filing fee of $1,900. That means DoorDash, which is valued at $12.6 billion, is still on the hook for $9.5 million in fees. Bravo. Bravo. So we'll see what happens there. That's wonderful. Now, I want to ask all of you that listen to this show to respond to this. And if you're here at this point in the show, this is a very, 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 very important question. So this is a hypothetical, okay? I'm not saying I'm doing this, but this is a hypothetical. Let us say that I got a new sponsor. And that sponsor was the Acme Explosive Company. All right. I'm just using an example here. Bugs Bunny, right? The Acme Explosive Company. Let's say that's the advertiser that's going to advertise on this show. And they're going to advertise that I am going to try to get you to buy whatever product they have. Okay, a fake Acme Explosive product, right? A cartoon, all right? So let us say that I advertise this product to you on this show, and you are of such interest that you go over to the Acme Explosive Company and you visit their website and you buy some of their product. Now, the question I have for you is, would you be upset if you knew that I took listener download data, took that raw IP data that comes in every time you access my show, whenever you download the show, it's registered which IP you come from. Would you be upset if that data was shared with the advertiser? So when they put a cookie on their website and you visited their website, they knew that you were a listener of this show going to the Acme Explosive Company's website. Would you have a problem with that? Number one, yes or no? So the question is, again, would you as a listener, this is just IP data right now, an example one, would you as a listener have a problem with me sharing the IPs of all the downloads that happen on my podcast, giving that IP data to the advertiser who would look for you to come visit their website and match you up and figure out whether or not you bought or passed on the offer? So the first question is, one, yes or no? Yes, I have a problem with that. Or two, no, I don't care. That's the question for question number one. All right. One, yes, I care. Two, no, I don't. All right. Second question. Giving what you know now, what I've just said, as an example, the second question is, if I took that raw IP data, and let's say I shared that with Facebook and Google so that they know, those of you that listen to the show would know that you like Todd's podcast and you're a geek and whatever connotations that may have. Would you care that Facebook and Google and Twitter and all these other places would know that you're a listener of Geek News Central? Would you care about that? Now, let's add a little more information here. Facebook already knows who you are. Google knows who you are. Amazon knows who you are. So this IP data, all of a sudden, then, can be tied to you. So question number two, are you okay with me sharing that data with third parties? Number one, yes, Todd, I'm very happy that you can do that. Or two, no, you don't. So again, question number two is yes, I'm okay with you sharing that. Two, the second is just no, I'm not cool with you doing that. So the third question tonight is, are you cool with the advertiser, the Acme Explosive Company that we're using in this fake example, would you be cool with them looking for your IP to show up in any one of their other properties or partners' property? So the question number three is, yes, I'm fine with the advertiser looking for you coming to another property or partners page and using that data for whatever method, or no, I'm not. So either yes, and all three of these, either yes, yes, and yes, or no, no, and no, or maybe it's yes, no, no. You know, basically, I want you to say, are you in three answers? Yes, I'm cool. Yes, I'm cool. Yes, I'm cool. Or no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. So those are the three questions for you that I would like you to respond to. geeknews@gmail.com. Now, predictably, I'm going to have a pretty good idea how you're going to respond. I think I do. But if you want to really make this interesting, is state your age in the response. Because I'm under the impression right now that people that are a little younger are used to this type of data sharing happening already and are not so adverse to it, even though we've already, most of us has opted into this with Facebook or Apple or Amazon. We've already opted into being tracked and given away a majority of our privacy. But are you cool with you as an anonymous listener of this show, many of you, having that data shared? Okay, so let's add the fourth piece. So this is the fourth question. Would you like to be able to opt out? or opt in? Would you like to take that decision away from me? Because now, technically, the way the law is in the United States, at least in 49 states, California gets real tricky when we get beyond question number one. At least in 49 of the states currently, it's absolutely unequivocally legal for me to do that if I so chose to do that. Now, again, this is hypothetical. In the European Union, it's not. You have to be able to opt in, at least in some detail, on all three of those levels. But there's no, currently there's no way. But, you know, knowing you want to support the show, would you opt in for this, knowing that it would help the show make more money and stay on the air? So let your hats think about that a little bit. And I want to hear from you via email, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Question one, question two, question three. There's only a yes, no answer. And of course, the fourth question as well. So I'd love to hear from you. And I hope we get a big response on this, because it's something that it's something that I am dealing with right now. As something's going on in the podcasting space. Because you may or may not know it, but some or all of this is already happening on some of the podcasts that you're listening to. You listen to some shows in secret? Do you want someone to know you're listening to a certain show? Love to hear from you as listeners of this show. I know what most podcasters are going to say, but I want to hear from the listeners of this podcast. I know what it's, I already know how most of you are going to respond, but I really do want to hear from you, and we'll tally it up. I won't use anybody's names. I will read comments if you send a comment. But anyway, that's where we're at on this. All right, let's move on. Got some more stories to share here. And let us move into the next. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook tonight, make sure you say hello. All right, moms and dads that have had kids and you've changed diapers for many years, what do you think about a smart diaper that takes the guesswork out of knowing when to change it? How would you like to have a diaper that alerts you when it's wet, when it has been soiled? Would you like a diaper that did that? That sent you a text message that, hey, your kid's diaper's got doo-doo in it, or it's wet? Would you like that? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I'll have the link in the show notes to this, but yes, there is a smart diaper out. I saw the demo of it at CES. And they're going to stick a form of an RFID tag in these diapers to inform you when they're wet. I'm a little worried about our future. I really am. All right, those of you in the UK, I heard you just went through a horrible, horrible storm. One of my team members from the Blueberry Pro team, Toby, had flown in from the UK to be with us at Podcast Movement Evolutions. And he was heading back Saturday afternoon, and he was really worried because there was a really horrible storm going on in the UK. But that leads to a good story. UK has decided to spend $1.6 billion on the world's fastest weather supercomputer. The UK Weather Office, the Met Office, again, is going to spend $1.6 to acquire the world's most powerful climate supercomputer. That's over 10 times more than its current Cray XC40 cost, but it will deliver more timely and accurate forecasts down to just, what is it? Less than a half a mile. Oh, it's going to create forecasts down to an area of just 1,000 meters. Wow. All right. It's also going to look at climate change. So in the UK, that's where your money's going to go. If you're looking for batteries, and you know, I'll be honest with you, it's getting a little crazy. But the best portable high-capacity power banks include the 50,000 milliamp charger. So this article has a whole list of great portables. I'm still a big fan of Anker and a variety of other ones. But anyway, they'll have a link here, a list here of great chargers for your for all your power needs. You can't talk. Ridiculous. A PlayStation 5, they got some news about prices, specs, rumors, and everything. So there's some stuff out about that that's being dug into. So if you're interested in a PlayStation 5, I have a link up in the show notes for that. Also, if you're watching this show, there is going to be a space event. You're going to be able to watch Mars disappear behind the moon Tuesday morning, if you're lucky. So the moon is scheduled to perform a magic trick. When it temporarily goes behind the moon. Sky watchers in North America will have a shot at witnessing the moon-Mars occultation. These events happen a couple times a year. So what time is it going to happen? The occultation begins soon after local sunrise, but you may be able to see Mars disappear behind the moon with a telescope or good binoculars. I think I'll sleep in. The Motorola Razr is reportedly already peeling at the fold. Oh, I didn't update yet. Sorry. A little bit behind here. So that's not a good sign for these phones. You know, honestly, did they not think that wasn't going to happen? It's been on the market 2 weeks, and already one of the foldable phones is reportedly showing excess wear and tear. Made of a combination of glass, plastic, and stainless steel, the Razr comes at an important moment for foldable phones. It's the first proof of concept for folding phone whose screen bends in half vertically to maximize screen real estate while saving physical space. And everyone loves a flip phone, but not one when the screen gets jacked up. Android Central has a great list of surge protectors, some of the best for 2020. Link will be up in the show notes for that. I'm in need of a couple of surge protectors right now, so I'm definitely going to be reviewing this article in detail. Surprise, 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 though, the European Union will not let Facebook tell it how to regulate tech giants. EU officials has dismissed Facebook's regulation recommendation. You know, I guess Facebook didn't pay enough money to politicians' re-election campaigns. It is not for us to adapt to this company. It's for this company to adapt to us, Breton told reporters after a meeting with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. So this comes from, who is this guy? Thierry Breton is the EU Industry Commissioner. So on Wednesday, Breton is expected to announce proposals to regulate U.S. tech giants and state-aided Chinese companies, as well as proposals for governing artificial intelligence. Zuckerberg's called for regulation in the past, but Facebook's current recommendation proposed, for example, giving tech companies flexibility to experiment with content moderation. Critics say the company isn't acting fast enough. So we'll see what happens here. The good old EU, I think it does more harm than good sometimes, to be honest with you. Ars Technica is running a story that says data shows a Tesla owner experienced glitches days before his deadly 2018 crash. Now, get this. This is kind of interesting. On March 23rd, a glitch in Tesla's autopilot technology contributed to the death of Walter Wang in Mountain View, California. As Wang's Model X approached a left exit on U.S. Highway 101, the software apparently got the lane lines mixed up. The car steered to the left, putting itself in the space between a diverging lane. Seconds later, it crashed into a concrete lane divider. At 70 miles per hour, Wang was taken to the hospital, but died soon after. Now, my Ford Edge has lane centering, but I have learned that as you approach either an off-ramp or where there is a road intersection, that if there is not dotted lines, clear dotted lines on the road, that vehicle will try to take the exit. It gets confused. I mean, and it will do a jerk. I'll have my hand on the steering wheel and it'll start to pull to the right, try to take the exit. Now, depending on the exit, that could get exciting really, really quickly. But my vehicle is not designed to be hands off. If I take my hands off the steering wheel for more than 10 or 15 seconds, it starts complaining. And I don't trust it enough to take my hands off the steering wheel and or not watch where it's going. There are times on the tow road where it's just straight and there's good lines on the tow road or on a highway that it does pretty good. It'll stay in its lane for 20, 30 miles, no problem. And, you know, it's going to drift a little bit right to left. It doesn't stay dead in the lane, but it's got its quirks. It wants to run home to mama sometimes and has a mind of its own. So this should not come as a surprise. But again, all these folks are driving Teslas. They become so dependent upon them. And they trust them so much, they're dying because of it. The document confirms a claim by Walter Wang's family that experienced this particular glitch in this particular spot multiple times prior to his fatal crash. He complained to the company and friends about the issue. However, the NTSB was not able to confirm another key claim that Wang reported the issue to Tesla. Forensic data also suggests one reason Wang may not have been paying attention to the road in the final seconds before his death. He was in the habit of playing a game called The Three Kingdoms in his car while driving to work. Logs from his Apple-provided iPhone showed that he used the app during his morning commute every day the week of his fatal crash. However, those logs don't provide enough information to say if he was interacting with the game in the final seconds before his death. Really? See, complacency. This stuff is not that good yet. And I felt my steering wheel jerk. I have felt it jerk before. So, anyway, just be aware. You've got one of these new vehicles. It is not perfect, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful. Rick says, referring to the power bank, he said 50,000 milliamp charger. Wow, wait till until that one catches on fire. Tim says, VPNs. I like that. Jeremy, thanks for checking in on Facebook. Appreciate it. Mom, hello as well. For watching. All right, let's move on here. Apple is warning revenue will be lower than expected because of the coronavirus. Worldwide iPhone supply is temporarily constrained. Okay. Store closures and reduced retail traffic in China are expected to have significant impact. All of Apple's iPhone manufacturing partner sites have been reopened, but are ramping up more slowly than they had anticipated. It's still going on. Google is ending its station-free public Wi-Fi system, and this is largely international. After almost 4 years of providing free internet access to people in developing countries, Google plans to shut down its station program. The initiative saw the search giant offer free public Wi-Fi at 400 railway stations in India and more than 5,000 other places around the world, including in Brazil, South Africa, Mexico, Thailand, and Vietnam. News of the shutdown started out to filter out last week, but Google officially confirmed the news today. The company says it's ending the program because it's running into issues scaling it. Each of the partners Google worked with to provide public Wi-Fi had different technical infrastructure needs, which made developing Station into a sustainable business challenging. Google had tried to monetize the service by showing ads to people as part of the login process. He also said the increase in availability of cheap LTE data, particularly in India, made Google feel the program wasn't as needed as it was before. I'm telling you, there's a lot of poor people out there. They can't even afford a load on their phone. So it's too bad. But hopefully the carriers or the participants will continue to pay for it. SpaceX lost another Falcon booster to the sea, but it did successfully launch its fifth batch of Starlink internet satellites. So the booster was expected to land on a drone ship called, of course, I Still Love You. But the video shows a splash next to it. The booster made a soft landing in the ocean next to the ship. So I don't know if those things float. I don't think they do. So they lost those titanium arms. It doesn't say if they were able to recover it or not. But don't think so. But this was the this one was turned around in 63 days. They must have missed something. I think this had done a four launches, but still pretty good track record on that one, right? Apple's Music Replay 2020 playlist tracks your favorites week by week. You don't have to wait until year end to start looking back. So if you use the 2020 replay on your phone, it's going to look at what you've listened to in the past week. I haven't been on Apple Music in several months. So this is interesting. According to VentureBeat, Google and Amazon ceded smart speaker market share to Chinese rivals in 2019. The firm reports that of the 146.9 million units sold in the year 2019, a 70% uptick compared with 2018, the Amazon keyword-powered speakers made up 26.2%, roughly 38.5 million units, a dip from 33.7% in 2018. On the other hand, Baidu, Alibaba, and Xiaomi all increased their share of smart speakers in 2019. Are these running? Alexa or what? I wonder what, does anyone own a smart speaker from Alibaba, Xiaomi, or Baidu? What are they running? What operating system? Someone help me out here. Find that out. Last couple articles here. Watch the first trailer of Spielberg's Apple TV Plus series, Amazing Stories. Huh. Apple shared the first trailer of Steven Spielberg's upcoming Amazing Stories revival. The series will hit the tech giant TV streaming service on March 6th with five different stories to watch. All right. And finally tonight, Redbox enters the free ad-supported streaming market. With the launch of Redbox Free Live TV, the company known for its DVD rental kiosk has been dabbling with streaming for years. And demand for DVD rental has declined, of course. Despite its name, Redbox's new streaming service isn't offering live TV. Instead, this new service will offer a curated set of ad-supported movies and TV shows similar to the Roku channel IMDb TV or TiVo Plus. The free content is organized into channels, including those brands like TMZ, USA Today, Fail Army, Now This, Film Rise, Battery Pop, Film Hub, Food 52, and others. Redbox has also put together its own thematic groupings like Redbox Comedy, Redbox Rush, Redbox Spotlight. So we'll see what happens here, but we'll see what kind of rerun movies they have. All right, that's going to bring me to the end of the show tonight, and I want to thank you for your ongoing support of the show. I want to thank you for your ongoing support of the sponsor. And as always, I want to encourage you all to get over to geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy, pick up a GoDaddy product or service, and if you're not in the market for one, please share this information with your friends, family members, people that you know. And when you do pick up a product service, I do thank you very profusely. And if you're not in the market for a GoDaddy product or service, and it's been a while since you supported the show, definitely consider going over to geekandcentral.com/insider, becoming an insider, giving a one-time donation, or a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 donation is definitely appreciated, especially if it's on a monthly basis. It goes a long, long way in paying the writer's bill. For the entire network, paying Kirk's executive producer position. And it's not enough to keep the lights on yet, but we hope that it'll get there someday. So definitely consider becoming an insider, geekandcentral.com/insider. Keep your own accounting, and we reach $1,000 in contributions to the show. Make sure you let me know, because we do reward you when you do. But it's been my pleasure to bring you a show tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. I apologize. There will be no show until next Monday. Again, because of my trip out to Houston, for those of you that skipped the forward part of the show, that hung around to the end, don't forget about the questions I asked earlier in the podcast today. We want to hear your answers, and I will compile and share your comments in the next podcast. But two shows next week, only one show this week. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing the podcast. I do want to thank you so much for tuning in. Those of you that were live tonight and provided some commentary, I want to thank you all and get the show up and online. And I guess that's it. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.